It's Tuesday. It's therefore time for our weekly music discussion here on the Monocle Arts Review. Helping me delve into the forbidding, lesser-known depths of this week's releases, I am joined by the associate editor of The Quietist, Luke Turner. That's coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Mullett, right now. Luke, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Andrew.
This time there is no music created by Domestic Appliances, which there was last time.
I'm afraid not, Andrew. The sun is shining. I'm in a rare good mood, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to have two cheerful songs. Actually, no, one's about the First World War, so you know, maybe not. But that is about people who survived the First World War.
Okay, well,
so no Domestic Appliances.
The lighter side of hideous transglobal carnage. Then that is coming up later. First of all, Cat's Eyes. First of all, before we introduce the song by Cat's Eyes, introduce Cat's Eyes.
They are a duo of Rachel Zafira and Faris Badwan, who some of you might be know as the singer from the histrionic goth rock group The Horrors. This is their second album. They also did a soundtrack for The Duke of Burgundy, the film, and I love this record. It's just, I kind of, they're together, and everyone for ages, but they were pretending not to be together or something. It was all got a bit pointless celebrity nonsense.
Is it all a bit Jack and Meg White?
Yeah, it was a bit, which is tedious, really. Nobody thought they were brother and sister, I don't think. But this is kind of them about the album's about them sort of being honest about their relationship. And she's from the Trail, which is an awful sounding place in the middle of British Columbia, where there's a giant, I think, a steel smelting works and mercury mine or something. She used to go swimming in the polluted Columbia River, and the town seems to produce a sort of odd balance of geniuses, one of the best and most valuable baseball players going, engineers, and also people who marry their sisters, and in the more traditional kind of remote North American idiom. But it's a very beautiful record, sort of about them going to that place and discovering it together.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit of it. This is from their album Treasure House. This is Cat's Eyes with We'll Be Waiting. That was Cat's Eyes with We'll Be Waiting from their album Treasure House. It's the first selection this week from our guest music reviewer, Luke Turner from The Quietus. Luke, in my voluminous and assiduous research into Cat's Eyes, it was both of those things. I did glean the snippet that they play what is called as guerrilla gigs. Now, in my head at least, guerrilla in the modern context is usually a synonym for bad and or annoying.
Yes, and you would be quite right in that, because there was that horrible scene of indie music of people like posh kids taking heroin in Whitechapel, and they used to do guerrilla gigs, didn't they? And it was dreadful a few years ago, and it made me feel old because I looked at it and I said, what are these young people doing? This is rubbish. But Cat's Eyes actually did quite a good one in that they snuck into the Vatican to play a gig when on their first record, because Rachel Zafira is sort of a classically, well, she's self-taught, but then went to the sort of classical music academy, as it were, and is an opera singer and all sorts of things. So she was able to sort of sneak into the Vatican, and they did a concert in one of the chapels there and filmed it, which I thought was a lot better than turning up in a skag dealer's bedroom and doing a guerrilla gig that's not very guerrilla at all.
It's a bad PR day for the Swiss Guards, though, isn't it? Who failed to deter them with their pantaloons and halberds?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they didn't get halberded. How do you use a halberd? I've never always wondered that about that.
I think you hit people over the head with it broadly. Yeah. I think you just set about somebody with the halberd. I don't think it's a subtle weapon.
No, it's a slicer and a stabber.
I fear we may have drifted from the point slightly, although I now have the sinking feeling that halberds and pantaloons will be all the rage in Dalston this time in 6 months. We should move along to the second track you've brought in. This is by Darren Heyman. This is an interesting project. This is a strange historical thread he has pulled upon.
Yeah, Darren Heyman started off in an indie band called Hefner, and since then on his own has been doing also these very in-depth researched albums about bits of the past. He did one about the witch trials of Essex. This one is about Thankful Villages. Now, these were villages where everybody actually came back from the First World War. Most places in England you go to, there's a war memorial or a board in a church about everyone who died. But there are a few, and not that many, places where everybody went off to the trenches, came back fine, safe and sound. So he's going to these different places all around the country, talking to people, looking at old research documents, things like that, singing traditional songs, working with local church choirs to write songs, making little films, and it's all coming out on an album.
It's a fantastic idea for a project. I mean, I think it's of genuine historical interest, but the project appeals to me all the more in that, especially in the current context, if you imagine the enormous act of financial insanity that this would amount to for any musician to embark upon, because there's a lot of travel and research involved here.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I really like Darren Heyman, is that he operates completely outside of even the indie music industry, as it were, which is now by and large just as conservative as the major labels in many ways. And actually, this one, the collected works are coming out on Rivertones, which is a label started by Caught by the River, the excellent website that's all about sort of nature and place and drinking and all sorts of things. They've got a couple of really good records this year, actually, and one of which I think I bought onto Monocle before. But yeah, I really admire Dan for the effort that he's put into this project and all his projects. He's a sort of proper artist who actually works incredibly hard rather than ponces around.
Well, let's listen to it. This is Strettle by Darren Heyman from Thankful Villages Volume 1.
Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? A small nook of land by a Roman road. Where
that was Darren Heyman with Strettle from his album Thankful Villages Volume 1. Sort of melancholy folk music, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I wish I do like that sort of thing. You think I'm just into washing machines in bum dungeons, but no, I quite like some melancholic folk music now and then, Andrew.
The album is called Thankful Villages Volume 1. Does this suggest that he is going to make a major thing of this?
Unfortunately, with very few villages that everybody came back from, there's enough for more than one record, I think.
Okay, well, that's Darren Heyman Strettle from Thankful Villages Volume 1. That's the final choice by today's music guest, Luke Turner from The Quietus. Thank you, as ever, for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, among the thousands that converged on Barcelona for the 16th edition of Primavera Sound Festival over the weekend was our correspondent Liam Aldus. Barcelona's futuristic-looking seaside Parc de Forum was taken over by headliners including Radiohead, Sigur Rós and Brian Wilson, attracting 55,000 people over the 4 days. But beyond all the buzz surrounding the big names, Liam weaved his way through the crowds to find out how one of Spain's most successful festivals is cultivating the local music scene as well. So let's sway over to the self-declared capital of the Mediterranean to see what Liam could drum up.
Each June, if you're not at Barcelona's flagship festival, Primavera Sound, you're not anywhere. What started out as a group of friends putting on a modest music event is now Spain's premier festival. For Primavera Sound's founder and director Pablo Soler, part of the festival has always been about promoting up-and-coming local acts too.
It's around 70 Spanish acts altogether. Okay, we've been promoters in Barcelona and Madrid for several years, around 20 years. So we really know the local scene from firsthand. We run venues and we do shows all the time. So we try to put our best selection of what we have around and put them on the best spots. And I think it's attractive because they have the chance to have a big local audience, but also an international audience that they wouldn't have in any other way.
It might be the opening shot of Europe's summer festival calendar, but Primavera Sound still feels local at heart. It's independently owned and isn't just an annual flash in the pan on the city's fringe. This year there was an ambitious pre-festival program of 70 free concerts around the city, and a recent impact survey revealed 91% see the event as positive for Barcelona.
And this year, how did you go about selecting those groups? Who did you bring that you're excited about?
Of course, I have to say Pur Gang, because it's a new, different thing that's coming around. But we are very happy about Manel, that are releasing their fourth studio album, and they are quite big in Catalonia. For instance, they've been twice number one on sales in the whole Spain, and it's weird because it's a band singing in Catalan. That doesn't happen so often.
Directo de Nueva York.
There was a lot of expectation on the festival ground about four-member trap outfit Pur Gang, who broke onto the Spanish scene 2 years ago. They were a surprise addition to this year's lineup, but switched their act up a bit for their show, adding a dose of Latin flavor by bringing a seven-member mambo band to the stage. I managed to catch one of the members, the enigmatic star Young Beef, just a few minutes after the applause had died down for their first ever Primavera show, and asked him how he thought it went. He was surprisingly humble.
This is an idea that we've had for a long time, and thanks to Primavera, we could bring it to life. We were really happy with the Mambo Band, but I think we'll need to step it up even more to be really good. Doing something new and different is always a little trickier, so it might take some more time to get the trick right.
Just a few metres away, I spot another one of Spain's burgeoning music stars in the crowd. Carlota Cossials is part of all-girl band Hinds that have been playing everywhere from Glastonbury to South by Southwest, but as she told me, they are yet to grace a Primavera stage. As a musician from Madrid, Carlota had a very different take on how much Primavera is supporting Spanish bands.
I think they do, but only with like Catalonian bands, and that's amazing because they're also Spanish, but they are a little bit more like, kind of like more radical, like they really like Catalonian music, but they don't like that much bands from Madrid or from Galicia or from the South that, I mean like, there's a lot of things going on right now in Spain, I think, and they kind of like more slow in like opening their minds about properly Spain. We started to play in Spain because we were playing outside, so we're not really an example.
It's strange, right? It's whether you have to become famous outside of Spain before you get spots at a festival here.
It's tough. But the Spanish music industry is more slow than the UK, for example, that they pick a band that they only have one demo and they put it in the radio, and like they're so fast, they're just like fast. They trust in small bands, and we don't trust in small bands that much.
The guys behind Primavera Sound are trying to change this though and launch their own Primavera record label to give groups, even if they are really local, a bit of a leg up.
So we try to have a broad selection. Style-wise, we try to have a broad selection of bands. And we try to not focus on things that are going to be very profitable, but in things that we think are interesting and different and a little bit mind-breaking.
How important do you think that is for the local music scene, like giving them that leg up with the local label, giving them that international exposure? Is it helping the music scene, at least in some way?
Well, in Spain, the independent music scene is not so strong. We try to do our part the best we can.
Yes, sir. Merci beaucoup.
Buenas tardes, somos Esaurs.
The Saurs released their album on the Primavera label this year, and a few hours before their first Primavera show, I catch up with frontman Angie.
There's a lot of local bands that are playing in the festival, so it's a good opportunity for all of us that we create an underground scene, and the Primavera is helping us to, you know, do well in a good amount of exposure to the rest of the world.
So if listening to all of this conjures up any hankering of festival envy, you're in luck. This weekend, Primavera will be heading over to Oporto in Portugal for its second beachside edition. See you there!
That was Monocle's Liam Aldous at the Primavera Sound Festival, and that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks, of course, to my guest Luke Turner from The Quietus. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be talking TV. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening.